Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Peyton Pendergast with you on a Wednesday. John McClain joins us in studio in about an hour. 713-572-4610 if you want to get in. Astros win last night 13-4. They beat the Boston Red Sox. So they are They're back in the win column. 16-5 in their last 21 games. They've started to hit. They're up to sixth in OPS right now. They hit five home runs in an inning last night. They hit six overall for the game. They've had a lot more games lately where they've looked like the Houston Astros we're used to looking at. The reason why I am enthusiastic, Seth, that this is going to continue, I don't know if you've had a chance to look at the Astros' upcoming schedule, but the batting practice machine that is the Boston Red Sox right now is just the tip of the iceberg for what is a, relatively speaking, a pretty easy schedule coming up over the next 30 games or so. I was looking at the power rankings on CBSSports.com. And again, purely subjective power rankings, but just for the purposes of illustrating a point, I think it's valid. They've got the Yankees 1 and the Astros 2 in their power rankings. Yay, thumbs up for that. The Astros' upcoming schedule, including the Red Sox, average power ranking of their opponents in their next 10 series, 21st. They play the Red Sox. They're playing the Red Sox right now. They play the Rangers a couple of times. They play the Guardians, the Mariners, the A's, the Royals, the Marlins. You know, even the White Sox are on the schedule over the next month or so. The White Sox aren't what they were last year. They're a team that's in the bottom half. I mean, the top of the bottom half, but they're below average right now compared to other Major League Baseball teams. So if you're somebody who's looking at these Astros right now and the way they've hit, saying, okay, I hope the other shoe doesn't drop and they turn back into what they were at the beginning of the year, I didn't think that was going to happen anyways. My feeling was they're going to hit. It's a long season. I'm very excited about this schedule here coming up.
I think Yuli's resurgence was the one that was probably most in doubt because of his age. He's 38 years old. We had put him on extended paternity leave from the Circle of Trust. And the Astros, you know, the Astros in Major League Baseball give these guys their 1 or 2 weeks or what have you.
Right.
Here at Payne and Pendergast, you have a full 2 months to recover from. Yep.
Seth is the official HR representative for the Astros Circle of Trust. He sat down with Yuli and said, "You know what? You look a little bushed. How about a paternity leave from the Circle of Trust?" And Yuli's response to that was basically to turn into 2021 Yuli all over again.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So basically everybody is hitting above average right now except for Martin Maldonado. If you haven't noticed Martin not hitting, God bless you.
He might be hitting above average for him. I need to go back and look at the numbers.
I'd say over the last, definitely. I mean, once he lifted himself up out of the double digits in batting average.
Into triple digits.
You know, you don't claw your way out of that without being above average for yourself somehow.
Yeah.
You know, not everybody has the tenacity to fight back from a 42 batting average.
True.
I think on Jackie Robinson Day, his batting average was actually Jackie Rabbit.
0-4-2?
Yeah.
He was okay. So that's our excuse. Why is Martin still in the lineup? Why is he not hitting? Because he has a very unique way of celebrating Jackie Robinson Day. Sure, it would be nice if he hit 342 or even 242 or Seth, dare I say, 142.
I don't think he got there. I remember watching it. It was like as Jackie Robinson. I knew we were a day or two away from Jackie Robinson Day, and at the time, Martin Maldonado's batting average was like a 60 or something, and it was early enough in the season that could easily swing down to 42. And I was kind of hoping that, like, you know what? Why not? That'd be kind of nice. That'd be pretty cool if he just stayed, and then he stayed it there. Then you could claim, at least on Jackie Robinson Day, that he did it as an homage and as tribute to Jackie Robinson, that he went hitless. So, but you can look, you can survive a Martin Maldonado when he is A, hacking people down with his machete at second base, and B, when everybody else is hitting really, really well.
Text message 713-899 says, don't forget last night's five homers all came against Uvalde. That was kind of nice. Uvalde was their ace last year going into the postseason. So that was kind of wild last night just to see him, to see them tee off on Uvalde and just see the look on his face as each ball sailed over the fence. That was good stuff.
Jeremy Pena comes back from his injury. And
first at-bat in Boston.
Yeah.
Over the monster.
And he had never he never played there before. He had a chance in the Cape Cod League, but I think there was a rainout or something, you know, even though he's from the area. And it's always cool to see. I like seeing rookies do well in those historic ballparks like that. We got so many nice, like, over-the-top views of the Green Monster last night because there were so many home runs. I'd like to go watch a game from that unique setup where you're in those single rows, kind of
up on top of the monster,
on top of each other, like extreme church pews.
We used to Fenway's the ballpark I used to go to when I was a kid. We lived about an hour and 20 minutes from there. So when we would make the pilgrimage to go to a Major League Baseball game, it would be to Fenway. There were no seats up there when I was a kid. It was just a net. And they added those seats, and God only knows how much revenue they added by putting seats on top of the Green Monster. I'm looking on SeatGeek right now to see how much tickets on top of the Green Monster are. I'm going to have you guess in a second here. So,
oh, okay. So the other, you had put out a couple of polls last night.
Oh, yeah.
It really put me in a pickle. It felt almost, this is worse than a circle of trust, like fringe can. Like every now and then when Altuve might be out of the circle of trust, you know how much that pains me?
Yeah, big time.
You put out a poll which was, pick one to do an extension with right now, Kyle Tucker or Yordan Alvarez.
Yeah, and that was the genesis of that was the report that the Astros and Kyle Tucker kind of broke off talks on an extension this weekend. They didn't come to an agreement.
And I know, like, in the heat of the moment, you'd say, oh, Yordan. Yordan is just crushing it. He's leading the league, or he's, like, one behind Judge right now in home runs. Of course it's Yordan. But then I started thinking, oh, boy, but injuries. Okay, Yordan moves around kind of stiffly. Mm-hmm. Kyle Tucker moves around like he doesn't have a care in the world. I feel like over time, Kyle will probably age better than Yordan. And yet, it's not like Yordan needs to stay incredibly limber. And I thought about defense, where Kyle Tucker is obviously better defensively, Sean. Except, you know, as a wannabe stat nerd, I don't like actual stats as much as I like expected stats. Like what a guy would be doing if it weren't for bad luck.
You live in a virtual world, not the actual world.
I live in a world unencumbered by worrying about what actually happened, but more by what should have happened.
yep.
Yes. And by estimated success rate in fielding. According to BaseballSavant.com, Yordan Alvarez is 93% estimated success rate. Well, Kyle Tucker is a lowly 86% estimated success rate. Yes.
You love that little E in front of stats, don't you?
Oh, you stick an E or a W in front of anything? And hell yeah.
Yeah.
I'll gerrymander my way to the answer that I want.
Seth's looking at the back of a pizza box. He gets nervous about the calories. But if it's expected calories, if it's an E, if it's a W for weighted calories, like, oh, let's eat, baby. Let's eat this pizza.
As far as actual runs prevented, Yordan Alvarez is at a minus -2, and Kyle Tucker is at a plus +1.
So does that mean he's actually caused runs?
In fielding, yeah.
What are you going to do?
So there's, I don't know. What do we do? Subtract his home runs from the total as we're stacking these two up?
I'll say this about Yordan defensively. Not as bad as I expected him to be at this stage of his career.
Right, which is exactly the criteria you're looking for when you're talking about giving somebody a 10-year deal, is not as bad as expected.
And one aspect to the game. I think your Don, I feel like, is a bigger game wrecker offensively than Kyle Tucker. Although Tucker hit two home runs and had six RBIs last night. Tucker's no slouch. For what it's worth, did you look at the results of the poll that I put up here?
I think Jordan, I'm guessing Jordan probably won by a pretty healthy margin.
61% Jordan, 39% Kyle Tucker. The funny thing about this is I did this same exact poll during spring training.
Yeah.
It was flipped.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I don't know what's happened this season. Maybe it's Jordan leading the league in home runs. That could be, or was until a couple days ago. That could be it, but in spring training it was flipped the other way around.
I think there's a little bit more of more well-roundedness to Kyle Tucker's game,
no doubt,
and his tools and all of that. And I guess so. There's a certain elegance to Kyle Tucker that in the off season you think, oh yeah, that's the kind of baseball player we need on this team. But then you get into the regular season and Jordan is just mashing and beating people down like frightened villagers. And yeah, I want that guy on my side.
Yeah, no, Jordan is muscling bad pitches over the green monster, hitting opposite field home runs.
The one that did it for me was looking at this heat chart of like where guys are on the Astros percentage
wise.
So like, are they in the 98th percentile of this or 99th percentile of that? And you look at the heat chart there, and it's Jordan and Kyle Tucker at the top, but like Jordan is all deep dark red in all of it, where he's in the 99th percentile, 100th percentile of hard hit ball percentages. Still both of those guys doing pretty well in whiff rate and all that kind of stuff. So it's a hard one. I'm going to go with my gut and right this moment, I'd say Jordan.
Yeah.
It's hard though, Sean.
It's really tough. It's a tough one. It's a tough one. A lot of people replied both, and I'm like, yeah, me too.
Yeah,
I would love both.
Play along,
yeah.
Man.
Yeah.
Oh, age? You can't even really split it with age either.
No.
Kyle Tucker's 25. Jordan's 24.
That's right.
But Jordan will be 25 next month. So they've got four months apart on that front.
Yeah, I would say I'm with you. I would say Jordan. Now, if someone came to me a year from now and said, look, Jordan's just not agreeing to anything, but we got Tucker signed up to a 6-year deal, I'd be fine. Like, if it winds up being Tucker of the two, they wind up keeping him. I do think it's pretty imperative that they need one of these two guys to kind of extend things a little bit here for this nucleus.
So
you can keep that poll still open if you want to go vote on it at Sean T. Pendergast.
The other thing that you sent me into super wannabe stat nerd mode in was where you pointed out the Bregman contract.
Yeah.
And, you know, whether you would want to extend that contract to either of those two guys.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. To either of those two guys, right?
Yeah.
Right.
And so I just went back and looked at, like, whether the Bregman contract has been worth it. It's tricky. If you go on, like salary per win above replacement, it makes sense. His contract has been a bargain relative to like getting a free agent, but that's very heavily weighted by that 2019 season.
Big time.
Extremely heavily weighted, yeah.
I'll say this about Bregman's contract, because the other poll I put up that you referred to was, are you happy with Bregman's deal so far, people? 74% said yes, we're happy with Bregman. He signed that deal back before the 2019 season Seth talked about. I think the big caveat for Bregman, his two most expensive seasons by far are next year and the following year. He's
right.
He's making $57 million over those next 2 years, 2023 and 2024.
If you were to get the same amount of total production out of a free agent, like at market rate, Bregman's pretty much already obliterated that.
Yeah.
So, like, he's already earned that $100 million. But, again, a lot of that's based on 2019.
Yeah.
It looks like this year is going to be better than the previous two.
Yep. Did the league do the Cleveland Browns a big, big favor in light of where we're at with Deshaun Watson right now? I'll explain next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.